You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m, our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin.
Kia ora, you're listening to the R1 News. We'll be with you soon, shortly, with the news bulletin. Up next is Circles by Mac Miller.
Kia ora, you're listening to the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 16th of August.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Yana. In international news, voted as the UK and Europe's worst airline carrier across multiple surveys, the Hungarian airline Wizz Air is now offering budding customers the opportunity to purchase a subscription to book as many flights as they want all year. For some, it's the dream excuse to travel the world. For others, it's an ecological nightmare. Starting September 25th of this year, the subscription will cost €599, or $1,098 New Zealand dollars. If the price sounds a little too good to be true, that's because it kind of is, since what you're buying is essentially a bare-bones ticket. Whilst the subscription includes international flights, the ticket will not include any checked baggage. However, that stipulation should be the least of your concerns. Any flights that you book through this subscription can only be booked within 72 hours of travel. A pro for frequent travellers or those who travel for work, but a little unrealistic for the rest of us. They can also only be booked as one-way fares, meaning people will have to book an outbound flight without knowing when they'll actually be able to return. Each time you book a flight, you will pay a flat fee of €10, or 18 New Zealand dollars. However, with the nature of this cheap and last-minute ability to be spontaneous and book a flight to Ibiza with the girlies, if you miss 3 flights under the subscription, it will be cancelled in full with no refund whatsoever. As a member, you will also have to designate a preferred departure airport in Europe, from which most of your flights are likely to leave. Not all of your flights have to leave from there. However, if the airline suspects that you have chosen an area to fly from that you are not actually from, they reserve the right to cancel your pass. So is it worth it? Possibly, if you're prepared to go against the odds of potentially booked out seats, unguaranteed flights, and countless other variables that will jeopardise your situation. However, you'll be happily jetting around all of the Mediterranean on an airline that has been voted the worst in Europe for 3 years in a row.
Author J.K. Rowling and Elon Musk have both been named in a criminal complaint filed to French authorities over alleged acts of aggravated cyber harassment against Amin Khalif, the Algerian Olympic champion boxer. Both figures were mentioned in the body of the complaint posted to an anti-online hatred centre. Donald Trump was also part of the investigation, as he also posted tweets. However, it is unsure if he is named in the lawsuit. 2024 Olympic boxing gold medalist Khalif was at the centre of a dispute about her gender eligibility. Despite being born female and not identifying as anything else, Khalif faced accusations and abuse about her gender, mostly through social media. Khalif's complaint for online harassment is actually one of several that has been filed and launched during the Paris Olympics.
Following a rapid surge of Mpox cases in multiple African countries, the World Health Organization has been declared its highest level of alert, a global health emergency. Formerly known as monkeypox, Mpox is an infectious disease caused by the monkeypox virus, which was first discovered in 1958 and is endemic around parts of Central and West Africa. A series of severe outbreaks of the viral disease began popping up in the Democratic Republic of Congo, the DRC, which has since then spread to at least 4 neighbouring countries that have never reported cases before. The original outbreak in the DRC has seen upwards of 15,600 Mpox cases and 537 deaths, which the director of the WHO has described as very worrying. Mpox spreads mostly through respiratory droplets and transmission is usually low. Most people who contract the disease end up recovering within 2 to 4 weeks, but it can also cause severe illness, mostly in children, pregnant women, or those who are immunocompromised. What concerns the WHO about this outbreak is that whilst Mpox cases in the DRC are not uncommon, the rapid increase over the past 6 months has matched the total number of cases reported in the previous year. What was seen in 2022 was an entirely different epidemiology, mainly spread through transmission between queer men and with a very low death rate. However, this year is seeing a degree of stronger widespread transmission that is coupled with multiple strains of the disease. Cases of this outbreak have now been confirmed in 13 countries.
In national news, a 143-year-old bow was taken last weekend but has since been returned to Addington Te Kura Taumatua Primary School in Christchurch. Principal Donna Bylis stated that she was thrilled to get the bell back as it had been part of the school's traditions since 1881. The bell was found amongst a delivery of brass scrap and it was recognised from the photos and reading reports about it going missing. Bylis said that it's in a bit of a bad shape, but it's still our bell, and is missing the clangour, the part that rings the bell, but that didn't matter. The bell was carried onto the court to a huge cheer and applause. And Bylis said that it has been awesome to know that so many people in our community care. The bell is situated in the school's remembrance garden, and leavers ring it at the end of the school year. It is also rung in memory of the Shuhada who lost their lives in the mosque attack. The remembrance garden and bell was also used by students who wanted to sit quietly and remember those who had passed away.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Friday the 16th of August, written by Yana Gleeson and Amy Martin, and read to you by Yana Gleeson and Amy Martin.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news.
Up later in the show, we have a scoop on the stars and what's the haps, as well as an interview with Jono McCabe to discuss the lack of band practicing spaces available in Dunedin. Up next, we have Take It Slow by La Vita.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings. The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
The weather this coming week is cold, wet and miserable. Last night's rain was a glimpse of the next few days. However, it should clear up a wee bit next week. Everyone keep their fingers and toes crossed for Monday with me as it's looking like it might snow. The Apple Weather app is telling me there's going to be a high of 5, but the feels like only as a high of -5. Let's hope for snow, guys. In the studio with us now, we have Jono McCabe to chat with us about the lack of practice areas for bands in Dunedin. Hey, Jono, how are you doing?
Good, loving life.
Awesome. So obviously you've written an article on this topic. Do you want to give us like a quick summary of the issues at the university surrounding practice spaces for bands, just to catch everyone up?
Basically, there's not really many spaces that are available for people to practice just as a band at the moment, and the ones that are available are quite heavily gatekept. There's halls do provide. Some halls have band practice spaces, but obviously you have to be part of halls for that, which is a big restriction for so many people. And most students, I find, actually want to get into music, like, later on.
Once you get out of first year.
And then the other option is at the music centre, Te Korokoro o Te Tui Studio, where they've got a selection of band practice spaces available, but you're only able to use those if you're taking music performance-related papers through the Uni of Otago.
So, like, what sort of things can you see happening if nothing is done about getting some more music spaces?
I do think it is a bit of like, it would be quite a big loss for the culture. Like, Dunedin has obviously been known for like the Dunedin sound, like quite a lot of classic bands have been part of Dunedin, and I think even the University of Otago advertises that. I just got an ad on my Instagram last night showing all of the culture that comes with Dunedin with the song Tally Ho playing in the background of it. Is that The Clean? I forgot which band it is. I should know.
I'm not sure, but I'm sure
But it's an old Dunedin sound song, and it's kind of promoting that like music lifestyle. But if there's nowhere for bands to practice, how are you going to expect them to for there to be a student music culture.
Exactly, yeah. So do you just kind of see it sort of fizzling out if people don't have that area?
I do think what I had a look at quite like what people are doing at the moment with it, and I talked to quite a few bands and saw how they practiced. Quite often they'll do it in flats.
Yes.
I like the Audiovisual Dropkicks. They all do their band practice in their flats because they all flat together, except for one of them, poor guy. But their living room is just absolute. I've been in their house. It's full of band equipment. Sharav, the drummer, eats his dinner on his drum kit. And then there's a bunch of, like, people are finding solutions to it now, but I just have a feeling that if there's no permanent solutions, this big part of music culture just, I do feel like it is going to not entirely diminish, but it will definitely fizzle
just
out.
Just so the band who can find places to practice.
Because there's obviously so many people that, like, just have a group of friends that wants to find a play, that just wants to, like, hey, let's start a band, and it's probably going to be terrible, it's going to be awful, and that's why they don't want to spend all this money on equipment, and so having a space that would allow for them to do that would be amazing.
Yeah, because how long ago did that, because there was the practice area that people were using, how long ago did that close down?
I think that was actually just at the start of this year.
Oh, wow.
So that one was Spaceland. It was in kind of the central Dunedin industrial area, when you go on the other side of the train tracks from where the farmer's market is best way to describe it. It was this small studio. You could rent it out for super cheap. I don't know the exact prices, but I'm pretty sure it was about $10 per session. They also had a recording studio with that as well. And, it's just sad to see that go. Because the reason that shut... Am I okay?
Yeah, no, you're all good.
The reason that one shut down was because of noise complaints, which is really funny to me because it's in an industrial area.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Because what happened is there was the landlord was wanting to evict them, reportedly due to, this is just what I've seen from their Facebook page, the landlord wanted to evict them after getting multiple noise complaints, and they wanted to fight it, the Spaceland people, but it just was too expensive, wasn't worth it for them.
Yeah, no, definitely, it's difficult to see those sorts of things happen when it's like it's there for a good reason.
Definitely.
So that these bands can practice and try new things, essentially. Yeah. You know, it might be the next 660, but we'll never know.
yeah, definitely.
What sort of solutions do you think should happen? Like, is there anything that students can do to, like, help with this effort, or, like, the university that can do?
I think the university has a part in this. I think the DCC has a part in this too, potentially, because it is a citywide culture issue, though it does kind of like come from the uni. But just having a practice space that is available, that is set up, whether the uni of Otago just finds some random ass room that they barely use or isn't used much, that's kind of out of the way, and just turns that into a band practice space, that would be amazing. And then just have that available to all students, if it's ran by the uni or if it's by the DCC, just to anyone, and either make it free or for a small price. And the OUSA is another group that I think could do this. I've had a chat with Stephen Steadman. He is one of the audio engineers at the Music Centre, and he's been in the music scene for a long time. He was in, like, Dunedin Sound Bands and audio engineered for... Anyway, he had actually suggested he's quite passionate, though he's unable to offer the Te Korokoro o Te Tui Music Centre as an option. He does say that there's some redundant equipment that's still perfectly usable there, that if like the OUSA or the uni or the DCC or any entity even really, he'd definitely consider lending that out as he's done before.
Yeah. Yeah, and do you have any sort of solutions that you think could come into this?
Mm.
Like, did you have any solutions in mind?
That, like, students could do to kind of just keep practicing, just keep playing, just keep going to gigs.
Yeah.
There is, I've just heard word of this today, that there is actually someone in the Northeast Valley, I don't know the details of this yet, that is wanting to actually set up a band practice studio.
Oh, yeah.
I assume in their house, or maybe they've just got like a little studio space. But it is does seem like it's quite expensive, $70 per session. Granted, they are 3-hour sessions, from what I've heard. But this is a solution.
Yeah.
This is something that is happening. It may not be the most accessible, especially if bands are wanting to practice 2 times a week or something.
Mm.
But it is a solution that's coming. And I think there is a large group of people that are keen for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a very important, like, issue to address, because in the article, there was a point where it said there'll be very few bands that have a place to practice, and then 10 or 20 years down the line, no one will care about putting those spaces in.
Yeah.
And, like, I think it's a very... People might not regard it as some, like, a present problem, but... or not put enough importance towards it to fix it, but... If nothing happens, if you're not the one actioning anything, there will be a Dunedin with no Dunedin sound.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a long-term issue.
Well, there's so many things happening that are surrounding music. Like, you've got, like, Dig the Gig and Bring the Noise, and it's very much like a Dunedin thing, and having, like, pint nights with all of these student bands and DJs as well.
Yeah.
But for it to kind of just disappear because there's nowhere for them to practice is... pretty sad.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there is that big move. There's, like, the uni has recognised that there is, like, a lack of venue spaces. That's for sure, that most people see that is true. But, yeah, band practice spaces just haven't really been talked about much from what I've seen until recently.
Mm. Yeah, very important issue for you.
Yeah.
Something you're pretty invested in. And what do bands want to get out of the practice space scene?
Yeah, I think they just want an option. They just want to probably not use their living room to actually have a living room, just to have a space that is affordable for them. It would be nice if there was some equipment that was already, like, maybe just like a basic drum kit and like an amp or something like that, just to have a low setup cost for those aspiring musicians. That isn't essential, like, any practice space would be great, but I think that would help a lot.
Yeah, no, 100%. And hopefully this is talked about more, and this is definitely bringing awareness to...
I brought it up to... I bumped into Grant Robertson, Vice Chancellor at the Farmers Market.
Yes, I saw that.
And I encountered him. I spotted him out, and I was like, okay, this is my chance.
Good job.
And I had a yap with him. I told him about the problem. He had no clue about it, and he was telling me, because he was actually managed Dunedin Sound Band during the time in the 80s, I think, was when you... I don't know.
Okay.
And he was telling me all the places that they would practice, and I said, that one's closed, that one's closed, that one, they're all closed.
Yeah, pretty much.
And he said he was interested, and he said to send him an email. I said, I've sent him an email, and he said, I'd go have a look at it. He didn't look at it. But that's okay, because his lovely receptionist, replied and said, this email has been received, but I forwarded it to Chief Operating Officer, his name's also Stephen, because it's more in his jurisdiction.
There you go.
I've yet to hear back from him.
Well, fingers crossed you get a reply soon.
Yeah.
Definitely good to, like, let them know that this is a proper issue. And talking to OUSA president as well, Keegan Wells.
She's keen for it too.
Yeah. Well, because all students are very keen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we love it. Well, thank you so much for coming in and chatting to us about this.
Thanks for having me on.
Hopefully we get some good updates and there'll be some good music spaces available. But Up next, we've got Hug Your Mum by At Peace. We discussed Mercury retrograde last week, and if you're still feeling like things are not going right, then this segment is for you. Up now, we've got A Scoop on the Stars with Yana Gleason.
In all its fleeting and ephemeral glory, some of you may have been lucky enough to catch a glimpse of the aurorae that were seen across the world last week. A series of geomagnetic storms have been on the rise this year, with a bunch of charged solar particles being emitted by the sun. The phenomenon is actually known by the acronym STEVE, standing for Strong Thermal Emission Velocity Enhancement. It is also not entirely understood by science. Astronomer Josh Alraki from Stardom explained that the phenomenon is not an aurora, differing in the sense that it appears as a streak across the sky caused by heated gas. Aurora or not, it was still absolutely gorgeous to witness, and I am happy to say that I got to see some lovely pink lights in the sky on Monday. But what else does the sky have in store for you? If you tuned in last week to hear about what Mercury retrograde had in store, here's what's happening this week. Aries, the Mercury retrograde phase is telling you to calm your fire. Storms may disrupt your romantic life, but this could also mean that you may reconnect with an old flame. Taurus, this retrograde is drawing attention to a few areas in your life that could make you very emotional. This is the ideal time to reconnect with a sweetheart you miss, or reassess situations in home or family matters. Gemini, you're often most affected by the retrograde, but the best thing to do is roll with the punches. You may want to postpone any big plans until later in this month, maybe even September. Cancer, the universe isn't playing tricks on you, but it is encouraging you to focus on what your intuition is picking up on. Revise your budget, because there may be some confusion around money. Leo, breathe in and breathe out. Birthday season may be a bit awkward for you this year. This time right now could be the most challenging and confusing period of your retrograde phase. You may notice communication within relationships, but people from the past may return to reconnect. Virgo, the retrograde may be spinning a cyclone on your star sign, and you may feel lethargic or like you can't get any work done. Slow down and reassess. Sometimes we move too quickly and lose track of the little moments, so stop to smell the roses. Libra, you may be feeling a little tense or like you've been attacked and you don't know where it's coming from. Find some balance through a little TLC. Retrograde is stirring the pot, so go with the flow, or the tension that is brewing between you and a friend will start to cause you some drama. Scorpio, you may have had some time to explore your passions during the retrograde. However, you won't emerge completely unfazed, so use the challenges that Mercury is bringing you to bring your ambitions and resurrect your old career paths. Sagittarius, if you'd like to reconnect with old bosses and contacts, the cards are in your favour. The rest of August may have you debating how to embrace a life that feels more fulfilling. So if you want to make some changes, consider talking to someone or finding a mentor for guidance. Capricorn, this retrograde has been telling you to evaluate your goals. Listen to your heart and your intuition. Wisdom is waiting to be soaked up by you, so consider tuning in a little closer to your teacher, friends, and especially your mother. Aquarius, you may have noticed that this year's retrograde is bringing a major spotlight to your relationships. You might be wondering if you're giving and receiving equally. The best thing to do is reconnect with people from the past. If you feel called to it, do it. And Pisces, you may have felt like you're not on the same page as anyone. However, you may feel like you're reconnecting with people from the past and maybe even daydreaming of them. Don't let confusion about your work-life balance throw you off. Practice patience.
Thank you, Yana, for that amazing update on where Mercury retrograde is going to be taking us this next week. I'm really hoping it ends soon, because I really don't need any more bad luck in my life right now. Up next, we've got Favour Love by Teddy Penrose.
And to send you off into the weekend for a scoop on events around Dunedin, here's Amy with What's the Haps.
If you're looking for something to do and you've got nothing planned this weekend, there's plenty going on that you might not know about. If you're into reggae, or even if you're not and you want to try something new, there's reggae vibes happening at the Crown Hotel tonight at 9 p.m. However, if reggae is definitely not your cup of tea, you might like to pop into U Bar for Bring the Noise Final, also at 9 p.m. Ashtung, The Days, Emma Papworth, King Mary, No Danger and Purple Dog are fighting to the final to be the 2024 winners. If music isn't what you're looking for and you're being very demure, very mindful at the moment, there's a Whānau Refuge charity auction at the museum tonight at 7pm. On Saturday, if you're not swamped down by assignments and midterms and you want to go give some past students a cheer, graduation is happening this weekend. Good luck to all you grads and hopefully the weather holds off long enough so that you can get some good pics. Also on this weekend, from the 16th today to the 18th, Sunday, there is the Small Press Fest happening at Yours, the Pioneer Women's Hall, New Athenaeum Library and DPAG. Small presses and independent publishers are coming for 3 days of celebrations, workshops, talks, readings and panel discussions. A range of presses and publishers are coming, and the lineup includes Dead Bird Books, Tender Press, Starling Mag, Aporo Press, Awa Wahine, The Physics Room, Samoa House Library, DPAG X Emma Neal, and The Satellites. And finally, it's not based in Dunedin, but if anyone wants to make the journey up to Auckland or already has plans that head up that way next week, Jason Momoa's band Oof Ta 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 is playing at the Tuning Fork on Wednesday the 21st.
Thank you so much for that recap, Amy, of what we have going on in Aotearoa. Let's hope everyone can get out there and find something fun to do. Rain, hail, snow, or shine. Up next, we have Yumi Zuma with The Bray.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1, here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.